It's the end of an era. The 1980s end in this podcast. Sad. But we're going to talk about it here on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here from MassLive.com, thanking you once again for making the Locked On Celtics part of your daily routine and the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. It's all because of you, for sharing, for giving it five stars, for giving it a good written review, all of that. Thank you very much for making this happen. This podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar anywhere. It's got a ton of protein. It's got not a lot of calories. It's got not a lot of that other mess that you're going to find in some of the leading protein bars. It's delicious, and you can get a box for $10 off right now at builtbar.com and using the promo code locked on. It's builtbar.com and use the promo code locked on for $10 off your first order of the best tasting protein bars around. Today on the podcast, we wrap up our 1980s deep dive. We're in 1988, 89. The glory days are gone, baby. The Celtics are through for the most part here. They are still a good team, but not good enough. And they have a level of success that most teams would kill for, but the big three is aging out. Bird, McHale, they don't have much time left in their basketball careers, and it's time to move on to the next generation of Boston Celtics. So we're going to continue our conversation. It's me, John Corrales, along with Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. These last 2 years, 88 and 89, see basically the Celtics fall off. 88, they lose to the Pistons. They lose to the Pistons in both years. The 89 season is Larry Bird. He plays six games. Only play six games with the that's the Achilles injury.
Yeah. Now, what we didn't know though was that he actually hurt his Achilles in the season before, in the 87-88 season. Early in the season, there was a play where he made a move and somehow strained his Achilles in both heels on the same play. And he sat out four games after that. But then he came back and he played 76 games that season, the 87-88 season. So he didn't let it keep him out, but it was the beginning of a problem that culminated in him having surgery the next year. So despite having bad heels in that 1 year, he did that. What we said, average almost 30 with those incredible shooting numbers.
In the last few years of Bird's career go into the 90s, so we'll talk about those when we get into that decade. But really, at this point, the transition is underway for the Boston Celtics. Now Casey Jones is out. He gets fired after 88, 89, Jimmy Rogers comes in. We're starting to see like something has to happen with this team. And what they do is they just kind of continue rolling with the guys that they have. Reggie Lewis becomes an obviously good player in 89. He now has his breakout season, his first kind of like good season. His best years come in the 90s, so we're not going to talk too much about Reggie Lewis, but it is worth mentioning that 88-89 season where Bird is is hurt, it's an opportunity for Reggie Lewis to come in and kind of show what he has. And what he shows is a season where he averages 18.5 points, almost 5 rebounds, almost 3 assists. And you start to get a glimpse of like, oh, okay, we see what this kid is capable of.
Yeah. He and Parrish both played very well in that 88-89 season. But before we go all that way, let me back up 1 second. Just mention that in 88, when Bird was still playing, but he had the heel problem developing, the Celtics were still pretty good, and you had hope that they could make it back to the finals. They did not, because they had to get through the Pistons again. But they had that series against the Hawks where the ended up going 7, and the fourth quarter of game 7 was the shootout between Dominique Wilkins and Larry Bird.
Right.
That was Bird had 20 points in the fourth quarter and Dominique had 16, and it came right down to the last shot or last few seconds. The Celtics won by 2. That was one of the classic games that highlighted how great those two players were. And then the Celtics had to play the Pistons, who were on their way to the finals for the first time. The Pistons were a physical team. That year, 88 against the Celtics, they were even more physical than ever, because I guess they figured you can't call every foul. And they beat the Celtics in 6. That was, there was an amazing game in that series. The Celtics had lost the first game at home, and they were having the second game also at home, and it went double overtime. And the play that was wildest was, they were down 3 with just a few seconds left. The ball got knocked loose. Kevin McHale picks up and hits a 3. Kevin McHale hadn't taken any 3-pointers practically in his whole career. Makes a 3 to tie the game. And then there was a huge controversy because they couldn't do instant replay review back then, but it looked like McHale's toe might have been on the line. And they called that it wasn't. They called it a 3-pointer, a good 3-pointer. They said he was not on the line. And the video, they must have looked at that video for 10 minutes and nobody could decide, was he behind the line or not? Anyway, it counted. They won that game, but they eventually lost in 6 games. And at the end of that game, McHale walked over to Isaiah Thomas on the court a few seconds before the game ended, and he congratulated him out in full view of everybody. And it was like a passing of the torch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a moment. And in that series, it was Bird's heels finally caught up to him. He couldn't shoot very well. And again, the bench didn't contribute in the postseason. The starters were all averaging almost, you know, between 37 and 45 minutes. Bird averaged 45 minutes in that series. So, you know, again, it's too bad Reggie Lewis didn't play more, because he would have definitely helped. But that did set the stage for him, as you said, to go the next year. He got a chance to play when Bird missed almost the whole season, and he averaged 18.5. And so you could see what we might have growing there in Reggie, a future go-to guy. And then in that 89 season, also Parrish, he increased his scoring average from 14 to 18, and he had career highs in rebounds, assists, and free throws. So, you know, once he took on a bigger role with Bird not able to play, Parrish responded, and he was pretty old by then. And a couple other things were, McHale had an all-star season, and the Celtics found Kevin Gamble, who became a double-figure scorer for them in the early 90s. He came out of whatever the minor league was at the time. So, you know, there was some good signs, but there was some reality coming into the picture, too, that the glory days were going to start to fade away.
Funny story about Kevin Gamble. I see him in almost every city I go to now. When I'm traveling on the road, I've sat next to Kevin Gamble at three separate road arenas. He's a scout, I think, for the Raptors. it was just funny. Like, I sat down, I'm sitting next to him in Dallas, and I'm just introducing myself. He goes, "Hi, I'm Kevin." I'm like, "I know who you are." Guys, there are only a few times in the day that you're reaching for a protein bar. You're either running out the door in the morning, you need a snack and you don't know what to have, or you've just had a workout and you're trying to get nutrients into your body. Those are really three of the times that you're going to have a protein bar. What are you looking for? You want something that tastes good, that's going to get you the protein that you need, that's not going to screw you out of the progress you just made in the gym or at your home workout. That's why you want a Built Bar. You're going to get something with great flavor, the best flavor on the market. You're going to get something with a good amount of protein, 15 grams of protein, 18 grams of protein. Different bars have different, but nothing less than 15 grams of protein. And you're going to get something that's less than 200 calories. A lot of these are 110, 130 calories. That's important because if you're working out and you're trying to get nutrients into your body, you want something that tastes good that you're actually going to eat. You're not going to get some chalky piece of whatever. You're not going to have to choke something down or drink a gallon of water with it just to get it down. You're going to have a Built Bar that's not going to wipe out all of the calories that you burned. It's going to give you all the protein your body needs to rebuild what's going on inside all of the working out you just did. And it's not going to screw you with a ton of sugar and a ton of that other stuff. Built Bar is delicious. There are a ton of flavors, and you've got flavors with nuts. You got flavors without nuts if you've got a nut allergy. There are gluten-free options. There's something for everybody, and you can get yourself a box right now for $10 off your first order. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase. Locked On is the promo code at builtbar.com for $10 off your first purchase. You're going to get protein, all the protein you need, not the calories, not the sugar, not the carbs. You're going to get flavor and protein. That's what you're going to get. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first order.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Couple of things, two things that I really want to get to before we wrap it up. First, the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson shoe commercial, which was like 1986-ish. I want to get to it because that's, first of all, iconic. We've got the Converse weapon. This is a big deal in the NBA. Magic and Larry are hawking the same shoe, and they shoot this commercial together in Indy at his mom's house.
French Lick.
Yeah. And so this is like a turning point for their relationship and in setting up the 90s discussion when Magic announces the HIV diagnosis, when they get into the Dream Team. All of these things. This is the groundwork for this. It happens in this commercial. For people who don't know it, Google it, YouTube it. It's Larry in his Celtics kind of like warm-up gear in French Lick, and you see this shot of a limo coming down, kicking up dirt behind it, and Magic steps out, and it's like something like, "Oh, I heard they made a Converse weapon for last year's MVP." And Larry's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, they made one for this year's MVP." And then he steps out and he pulls his warm-up off. And then Larry's like, "Okay, Magic, show me what you got." And then they play. And it's like this Converse weapon commercial. But during a break in shooting that commercial, these two guys who are complete rivals, like, hated each other. Well, Larry Bird was probably the one who instituted, like, who's more like, not hateful, but disdainful of any sort of competition. They take a break. His mom's like, come on up for lunch. They get to talking and they start to realize, like, basically they're the same person with different backgrounds and different influences and upbringings, and they grew up in different areas. But in essence, they are very similar. And Magic and Larry become friends as well as competitors. The competition never goes away, but there are a lot of things, awesome images. You know, Larry Bird's retirement, where that image of him pulling open Magic's Laker warm-ups to have a Celtic shirt underneath it. Like, all of these cool things that happen, all of these memorable things that happen, all stems from that.
Yeah, that is a great story, and that's quite a bromance they have going there. It was a book written about that. It became a Broadway play.
I saw that Broadway play.
You did?
I did.
Was it good?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, yeah. But like, I mean, I liked it. But first of all, there's two things. I was always going to like it, number one, because it's Magic and Larry.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's the only Broadway play I've ever seen. So I can say it here and say it's the best Broadway play I've ever seen. but they actually gave me behind the scenes access. Like, I did a story, I did a video on it. I talked to the guy who played Larry Bird. His name's Tug Coker. And I saw it twice, actually. So anyway.
Well, interesting development, how they, started out and where they ended up.
Yes. And the other thing that I really feel like we need to talk about, because we spend the entire 80s conversation here. We've been going we're on 2 hours and 44 minutes of talking to each other, which no one should be talking to me for that long. But we've gushed about Larry Bird this whole time. We have not talked about Kevin McHale enough. And how great Kevin McHale was, and how when Charles Barkley talks about the toughest player he's ever played against, it's Kevin McHale, and how Kevin McHale is arguably, along with Hakeem Olajuwon, the best post player that we've ever seen. And the way the NBA is trending, we may never see a post player of that caliber again. Now, you can pick Hakeem, you can pick McHale. Either one, you're not going to go wrong with either one. But I need to bring up Kevin McHale, because Kevin McHale is my basketball hero. Kevin McHale, now 1986, the late 80s, I am entering high school. I am a young basketball player in Rhode Island. I'm 6'3 at that point, which in Rhode Island high school basketball is a giant. My first 2 years, I go into my freshman year of high school at 6'3", but I've grown, I've sprouted so much, like I have no coordination, none. So my first couple years playing basketball, I'm just terrible. And my coach, thankfully Roger Berard, was like, look, we can't coach height. We're gonna turn you into a basketball player, and it was all Kevin McHale. Like, I watched some other stuff. I watched some Jack Sikma. I watched some of these other moves. You know, I did a lot of work and all that other stuff. But I studied Kevin McHale moves and learned drop steps, up and unders, learned all of that footwork. And the only reason why I'm even here doing this, the reason I've had any sort of basketball success in my life, it starts with Kevin McHale in the 80s. So I am not going to let an 80s podcast go by without me sitting here and gushing specifically about how amazing Kevin McHale was. As not, he was a pretty good defensive player too, but offensively, one of the most skilled guys that the NBA has ever seen. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
He was a maestro at the low post footwork, and there was a reason that they called that his torture chamber, because he definitely tormented people with his moves. That 56-point game he had, that was against the Pistons when they had Kent Benson. Kent Benson was a former number one pick in the draft out of Indiana, and he was on Detroit, and he just got demolished by McHale in that game. It was painful to watch. But yeah, McHale was supremely talented, and there is nobody like him in the game today. Nobody.
He has these giant arms that you can throw a fake. So the first thing he would do is back you down and hit you with this little righty jump hook. And you had to defend the jump hook. You just couldn't block it. But his arms were so long that his up fake went higher than most people's releases on jump shots. So you'd have to bite on that fake. And then he would hit you with the up and under. You jump, he dribbles underneath you, and he lays it in. And his arms are so long, he should have had three elbows, that he would go underneath guys and lay it in. The footwork necessary to be a post player in that era, with no spacing to get two and three guys off of you to get to your shot, is amazing. And on top of that, the strategy. I hit him with a drop step, which means he's expecting the drop step. So if I do this, this is going to be my counter. I can, whatever. I'm not going to go too nerdy on everybody. But to be a post player involves so much feel for the game, where you get the ball and there's a guy on your back. You can't see your defender. You have to feel your defender, which means you have to set up where your hip is a certain way. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go left? Well, this is how you got to position your body if you're going to want to go left. Have you gone left three times and he's now overplaying you that way? Well, here's where you put your center of gravity so you can kind of knock him off. And then he's blessed to have some of the greatest passers that the game has seen, getting him the ball exactly where he needs to be and setting him up to make these moves. It's just sublime to get the ball in position, to toy with these guys with fakes and shimmies and to turn these great defenders, because he faced great defenders, into these little kind of like marionettes, where he's just kind of controlling all of their movements, and he's just going to do what he needs to do, and in the end, drop the sticks, they fall to the floor, and he's going to score. If it wasn't for Larry Bird, like Kevin McHale alone, like Kevin McHale was good enough to be the number one guy on a team. They could have fed him and had different players around him, and the Celtics still would have had a large amount of their success.
In 87, McHale was one of the MVP candidates. He had that good of a year. Also, he had one of the best nicknames of all time, the Black Hole. Because when the ball went in, it was not coming back out.
Nope. He was not passing. In fact, let's see. How many assists did he average over his career? Amazingly. Amazingly. So in 85, 86, okay, that stretch from 86 through 88, he averaged just about 2.7 assists per game, which just tells me that he was triple teamed three times per game and was forced to give it up and somebody hit shots. That was where he got all of his assists. He wasn't setting anybody up.
It's a reasonable explanation. Yeah. You know, he had Kevin, unfortunately, had a disappointment in that 88-89 season, which we didn't mention this earlier, but Danny Ainge got traded that year.
Yes.
And he and Ainge are tight, you know. Ainge and Brad Lowhouse, who was a disappointing draft pick who didn't do much for the Celtics over a couple of years.
Yeah.
Got traded to Sacramento for Ed Pinckney and Joe Klein. So that was another move that didn't quite work out that contributed to the demise of the Celtics into the 90s.
Yeah, that's and that friendship is kind of part of why the KG trade happened. Though I don't think he was KG was quite gifted to the Celtics.
Not as badly as they tried to make it out.
No, but also general managers will very often trade with guys that they are comfortable dealing with. And obviously, McHale and Ainge being buddies, they could actually have like open conversations and not worry about pissing each other off.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Kevin McHale, you can't have this Kevin McHale conversation without saying that he was on two of the greatest Cheers episodes of all time. the Counting the Bolts episode.
Counting the Bolts in the parquet.
I mean, it's on Netflix. So go ahead and fire up your Netflix during this isolation and find the Cheers episodes. There's two. There's the episode where he's counting the bolts, where they do some stupid kind of like Cliff Clavin does stupid bar trivia. And I remember Carla like, don't get caught up in this. It's going to ruin you. And he's like, whatever. And they do it. And he gets obsessed with trying to count the bolts in the garden floor. And they have a scene where he's actually at the garden and, they have, what's his name? The broadcaster,
Glenn Ordway.
Thank you. Totally drew a blank on Ordway's name. He says, oh, here comes Kevin McHale. We're going to get a little interview with him. And McHale just walks right by. I'm going like 1001, 1002, 1003. So anyway, that's one. And then he has like this great line in another one where they hire him to be like a ringer on their bar basketball team. And the other bar plays a joke on him and they say that he broke his foot. Like they make the guys at Cheers think that he's severely injured. And they show an X-ray. And so blah, blah, blah. Show goes on. McHale walks in and they're like, what? I thought you were hurt. And they show the X-ray and he goes, no, see up here it says adult male gorilla. And then he says, or maybe it could be Bill Laimbeer, which floored me. Great joke. Great delivery. Awesome. So that's your assignment. Giving everybody who listens here homework. Go find those two episodes and watch the Kevin McHale episodes of Cheers. Awesome. I love Kevin McHale.
So to put a cap on the 90s, I mean the 80s, we've talked so long, I thought it was another decade.
We've talked for a decade.
To put a cap on the 80s, the 1989 Celtics, only a 42-win team in the regular season. They did make the playoffs, but they got swept in three by the Pistons. And, you know, Larry Bird wasn't playing, and the Pistons were on the way to the finals again, and that's just, you know, it was a fitting conclusion to the way the season had gone. Yep. It was not unexpected.
Well, on to the 90s. This is sad. We start this era on such a high note because it's like Larry's here and the Celtics, the Lakers, the NBA is saved and all of this stuff. And by the time you get to 1989 and, you know, 89-90, we see one tragedy. Another one is coming. We see the end of the road for these guys. Larry Bird's career is about to end. Kevin McHale's career is about to end. Parrish goes on for a little while, but, you know, not quite the same. 90s are the worst decade in Celtics history. How's that for a tease? Next week, or actually tomorrow, the 1990s, they sucked. Please listen. But there's still a lot to talk about in the 1990s and why. Why did things go wrong? There's a conversation to be had about, did the Celtics make a mistake by holding on too long? Did Red Auerbach's loyalty cost the Celtics? I mean, it's a fair question to ask, especially now in the Danny Ainge era, where he's the guy that traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and was willing to make moves that maybe buck certain loyalty ideas. But, you know, you're building a team. And just interesting questions to go along with the tragedy that is about another tragedy that it's about to befall the Celtics in the 1990s and how the league responded to that. And then you get into the Rick Pitino era and out of the Rick Pitino era. It's a big decade and there's a lot that happens and we're going to talk about it this week, next week, and continue our march through Celtics history. So please go ahead and subscribe. If you haven't subscribed yet, give the show a 5-star rating and a good written review, and that'll help us out a lot. Also, be sure to go to builtbar.com for $10 off your first purchase of really what is the best tasting protein bar on the market. I didn't know about Built Bar. A couple of weeks ago, they sent me a box and they really are very good. And honestly, the best part about it is not a lot of calories, but all of the protein that you're looking for, none of the other mess, and it tastes good. What else can you want from a protein bar? You're looking for something that's going to give you a little boost, maybe a little boost in your workout, maybe something in the morning. If you're running out the door and you need something to get nutrients into your body, this is a good low calorie way to get all of the stuff you need that tastes great. And you can get 10 bucks off your first purchase at builtbar.com with the promo code Locked On. That's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.